Verse 1, I think we need to hear it again. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. I love what the Amplified Bible says there. It says, each one will have to bear his own load of oppressive faults. So in other words, he's saying, okay, now listen. You're going to be dealing with people that you're going to see them do things that are wrong. And if you're really spiritual, this is how I want you to handle it. I don't want you to judge them. I don't want you to criticize them. I don't want you to shut them out of your life. I want you to help restore them and do it in a spirit of gentleness, keeping an eye on yourself, because if you judge other people, you may end up doing the same thing yourself, something you never thought you would do. How many of you would rather God not show you every weakness you have? Amen. Well, just judge other people a whole lot, and he will respond by showing you a few things that are wrong with you, which might get you to zip your mouth about some of the other people. Our level of spiritual maturity is revealed in how we treat people. One of the most important things to God is how we treat people. And I don't want you to fail to understand what I just said. One of the most important things to God, what really shows our level of spiritual maturity, is how we treat people, and especially how we treat people that haven't treated us so great. And we better just soak in that for a minute. Well, no, they don't deserve for you to treat them good. But do I have to open up the scriptures where Jesus says, forgive your enemies, bless those who abuse you and misuse you? Well, it's just not fair. It's just not right. But he says, do it because that shows that you're like me. That shows that you're like your Father who is in heaven. And I think most of you know my story, so I'll give it to you in a little nutshell. I wanted nothing to do with my father for years. I hated him, and I prayed the official, I forgive you prayer. But I still didn't want anything to do with him. Stayed away from him as much as I possibly could. Went around a little bit at Christmas and on holidays. And one morning I was praying and asking God what he wanted me to do. You got to be so careful when you start asking God that kind of stuff. I mean, it sounds spiritual, but you may not like what he says. And remember what I said earlier? If you're not going to listen to everything that God says, he may end up saying nothing to you. We don't have selective hearing. And so my parents were getting older, and they weren't well, and they lived in a little town about 250 miles from my city, which is St. Louis. Didn't have good doctors there. And I felt like God put it on my heart to bring them to St. Louis, buy them a house, take care of them until they died. I said, that is the devil. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You know why? Because I could not believe that God would ask me to do that. I just couldn't believe that he would ask me to do that. But, you know, God doesn't change his mind, and so next time I tried to pray, same thing. Next time I tried to pray, the same thing. Well, Dave and I didn't have a lot of money, and to go buy somebody else a house was going to pretty much put us back to where we started years before. And so I finally took it to Dave, being sure that he'd tell me no. And he said, well, you better do what God told you to. So I tried buying him a cheap house, and that didn't work. Had to buy him a nice house. And we, anyway, long story short, and it is a long story, so I won't go into the whole thing. You know, my dad didn't even seem to be that appreciative. You know, my mom kind of acted like, well, you know, I'm your mother. You should take care of me. And, you know, there was really no reason for me to do anything for either one of them because they had never done anything for me except hurt me. But as a Christian, you don't get to be like everybody else. Are you out there? Come on. The minute you put that fish on your car or hang that cross around your neck, you're making a declaration. Look at me. I'm not like everybody else in the world. I'm loving and kind and good to people, and, you know. Well, anyway, long story short, it turned out to be the doorway to my dad's salvation, and so he's in heaven now. See, my dad knew there was no reason at all for me to do anything for him. And he even told Dave one time, he said, most men would have killed me, and all you ever did was show me love. I'm telling you, you have an opportunity to see people restored, especially people that have hurt you. Now, I'm not suggesting you let somebody abusive back into your life to abuse you, but you are required by Scripture to pray for them and to bless and not curse them. And at the very minor level, what that means is to not talk bad about them. Do you know how hard it is when somebody has hurt you and you hear somebody else talking about what a great person they are? To just keep your mouth shut and not say, well, let me tell you a few things. It's hard. Be gentle, patient, and understanding with those who sin, have faults, or make mistakes. Help restore people rather than merely criticizing them. How do we see love? Is it just a message? Is it a book we write? Is it a theory? Is it a word we throw around? We love people and we love ice cream. You know, we love baseball. The love that God's talking about, the agape of God, to love people the way God loves people, is a totally different kind of thing. And it's not based on how they treat us or what they do. It's based on something much greater than that. One of the hardest things in the world to do is to treat people good that have not been treating you good. And I know there's a balance. Like I said, I'm not talking about letting people abuse you or walk all over you or misuse you. But I mean, I don't care what somebody has done to you. You should pray for them and pray for God to bless them. And I mean, I was honest with God. I said, I don't want them to be blessed. Why should I pray for them to be blessed? I don't want them to be blessed. But here's what the Lord showed me. When he blesses people, when we pray for God to bless people, the first thing he blesses them with is truth. So when you pray for people to be blessed, one of the first things they're going to get is conviction. See, maybe you've been trying to convict them of how bad they act, and they can't receive it from you at all. So the best thing to do is stop trying to do it by works of the flesh and turn them over to God. Come on. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? And so you stop saying bad things about them. You stop telling everybody what they've done to you. And you work with God to see restoration in their life and to know that really, if we all got what we deserve, we'd all be in big trouble. And so let's sow good seed so we can reap a good harvest.